Let's open our Bibles just for a few moments to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 22. We've just been going through the book of Proverbs on Wednesdays and want to try to just give some practical things tonight. And there should be a little Bible study sheet, just really helps us go a little quicker. Anyone need one? One of the little Bible study sheets? Brother Steve, where are you? Where's our people passing out the things? All right. Okay. Justin, you going to handle that? You remember everyone that lifted their hand? Good. Brother Steve, we still have people that don't have the bulletin. We've got, okay. All right. Okay. Just slip your hand back up, and maybe he'll do it, maybe he won't. But Proverbs chapter 22, as they're getting some of those out, just the bulletin, not the bulletin, just the Bible study sheet. Proverbs 22, and let's look at this word that's repeated in this chapter, if you will. Proverbs 22, and here it is. Solomon is writing. We talked last week about a good name. But notice in verse 2, 22, 2. Anybody else just slip it up? They've got them? Okay, good. 22:22. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Verse 4. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches. That's where riches come from. Humility and respecting or the fear of the Lord. And then if it's mentioned again, it says in verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And then he mentions it again in verse 16, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches. The subject tonight, it's going to sound like poor English, is them rich people. Amen. Them rich people. You remember when you were a kid? I don't know how you did it. Maybe it's my generation. Christmas time, well, not Christmas, the day after Christmas, we would get the two catalogs out, Sears and Roebuck and J.C. Penney. We would get both of those out, and we'd just, with our friends, we'd start turning the page, especially the toy section, not clothes. Yeah. Clothes is when you're a teenager, but toys. And we'd, that's what I want, and we'd circle it. That's what I want, and would circle it. You know, it'd be, you know, an easy money game. It would be Monopoly, a brand new Monopoly game with all the pieces. It would be life. It would be a croquet set. We didn't even know how to spell it. We would just circle almost all the toys, and we'd say, if I was rich, I'd have all of these for Christmas. And we kind of wondered, them rich people. When I was a kid, we had a bathtub. And I know that kind of shocks you. They had them back then. But we didn't know one person that had a shower. We did not know one person who, you know, you pull up the little thing and it comes out. That was the rich people. The rich people had a shower. But the normal people just had a bathtub. And so it's interesting how you kind of, you know, as a kid looked at and thought about them rich people. Well, here's Solomon. He is the richest man that ever lived in his day. Maybe, well, probably not counting these billionaires now with the Bitcoins and Elon Musk and some of these people, but in the Old Testament, Solomon was unsurpassed. If you want the reference, it's in the Bible study sheet. We won't read it, but it's 1 Kings 4. And it talks about just his daily food allowance, where it talks about 5 fatted calf, 25 fatted sheep, 28 goats, 14 oxen. This is for lunch. And then it listed, you know, the partridge in a pear tree and you know, the pheasant under glass and the quail. And it was certain people's job just to provide his meals for him and his servants and family for like a month at a time. Then someone else. So a whole chapter in the Bible just talks about what he ate. Amen. And then it talked about his import-export businesses, where they actually brought in what they would call unusual riches. They brought in apes, A-P-E-S, apes, peacocks, all these exotic animals, gold, silver, the import-export businesses. The guy, everything he touched turned to gold. It was like the Midas touch. And you remember the story, God said, because you asked for wisdom, you didn't ask for the life of your enemies and riches and long life, I'm going to give you all of it. Amen. So the theme verse of Solomon, if you were to say, what was his life first? It'd be Matthew 6:33. Because seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we've got to learn that if we seek things, that's all we get. If we seek God, we get him and the things. And so that's why Solomon here is speaking to his son Rehoboam. He's saying, son, I know you grew up with a silver spoon in your mouth. I know you grew up in the palace, but let me talk to you about wealth. Let me talk to you about riches. Money doesn't always make people happy. In fact, there's usually more miserable rich people than there are miserable. I don't know how it's supposed to go, but you'll have to look it up. So here, let me just give you some of the blanks, and then we got some practical things here. It seems everywhere we go, people mention the M word, money. I was at the gas station today, and it was like, money. I went into Starbucks to make sure they were making the coffee right, and they wanted money. In between soul-winning visits, I felt led of the Spirit to pull my car into Panda Express. And after I filled my plate full of food, they wanted money. That's all they wanted. What most of Jesus' parables, here's the blank, were about riches. 38 parables, a majority of his stories talked about wealth or riches. I wonder why. Not that God needs our wealth, but he knows what it does to us. He knows what a hold it gets on us. Here's the verse. Here's the blank. Where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. There will your heart be also. When a lady came to the church years ago, couldn't get faithful, and I don't know why. I mean, came for years. And finally one day she goes, how come I just can't show up at church like everybody else? I said, you start giving, you'll start showing up. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, several things here concerning stewardship. We're not talking just on giving tonight. God owns, we manage. God owns, we manage. And if you want to take your Bibles for a moment, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a tremendous verse, really, for all of us. And this is where it all starts. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I was speaking to someone this week, and they said, Pastor, I kind of tithe, but I don't tithe as much as I should. I said, I don't understand. Well, you know, I do tithe, but I don't give the full tithe. I said, look, either you tithe or you don't. I mean, it's not up to me. You know, a tithe is 10%. If you give 10%, you're tithing. If you're not giving 10%, you're robbing. And so it's either one or the other. And so, but notice here this scripture, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, and there's what Paul says, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So that's simply what God is saying. God owns everything. We are the managers. He owns, we possess. We are stewards. So next time someone hits your car with a shopping cart and puts two little dents in it, it's not your car. God, your car scratched. Next time something you have gets a little damaged, you don't have to be happy, but it's not yours. You remember Job. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was a steward. He was a steward of his kids and his wealth, and God decided to take it away. And sometimes that's where we are. The taken away process, it hurts. It's confusing. It's, I thought that was mine forever. And sometimes God takes it away. That's what he does. So just quickly here, and we want to get to where the study is. So we all become stewards. We are stewards. We all become stewards when we get saved. As soon as you get saved, you're a steward. But here's the blank. How you manage what God gave you determines what type of steward you are. So we're all stewards. But God doesn't say we're all good ones. All we have been entrusted with comes from God. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and so forth. What are we stewards are? Quickly, this is introduction. Our time. So Bill Borden, great missionary to Egypt. He had 24 years. That's all God gave him. American Indian missionary David Brainerd, God gave him 29 years, a steward. I was looking at all the famous missionaries and preachers upstairs in the hallway, in the close to the fireside room. Almost every one of those guys died age 40, 42. Spurgeon, 58. David Livingston, 62. The oldest one was 68. I'm older than all of those guys but one. And so we all think we're going to live to be 90. Sometimes we're just a steward of just the amount of time that he's given us. Steward of our time. Second, our talent. God gives us talent to be used for him. I think of Meadowlark Lemon. And no, I didn't buy him his first basketball. He was one of the original Harlem Globetrotters. Curly Neal and Meadowlark Lemon. Meadowlark was the funny one. He was the one that would, he'd take the shorts of the ref and pull them down. He'd do a half-court backward shot. He'd go up into the crowd and hug somebody. It was just real funny in that day. But Meadowlark Lemon, just a tremendous player. They wanted him to go out for the Olympics. Just tremendous. You know, all the fancy shots that people do now, they were doing four decades ago. But Meadowlark Lemon got saved. And when he left the Globetrotters, he became an evangelist. And he took his basketball talent. He would go to public schools, state universities, gather a crowd, give his testimony, do half-court shots, do dunks, all these round-the-back shots. He used his talent for the Lord. So whatever your talent is, God wants to use it for his glory and to reach others. You know, I was going to do the same thing. I was going to try to fill stadiums and do basketball shots, but It just didn't pan out for me. Next, we're stewards of our body. So it doesn't belong to us. So we need to ask ourselves, does the Lord want me to pierce it there? Does the Lord want me to draw on it with permanent ink there? Is this really, I mean, it's not mine. Is this what you want me to do? What? No, you're not. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Next, we're stewards of the gospel. So it's not our good news. It's his good news. And so it's we're stewards to get it out to everyone that we can. Next, we're stewards of our children. Remember Hannah said, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. He'll be lent to the Lord. He was not her son, so she gave him to the Lord, Samuel. Next, we're stewards of our wealth. It's not ours. We're to give it where he wants it. Now, quickly here. Sometimes there are seasons of poverty Scripture talks about. This prosperity, success that a lot of the television evangelists talk about. You give to God, you'll be a millionaire. You give him 1,000, he'll give you 1,000,000. That's not in the Bible. Because we have Job that owned everything and then was broke. We have Jesus that owned everything. He who was rich became poor. So there was a season where Jesus had nothing. Paul, very educated, I'm sure had a lot of possessions. Then he's floating in the ocean with a board, and he has nothing. So sometimes there are seasons you're going to be on top financially. Sometimes God may send you through a valley financially. So we see Solomon is warning here. He's warning about some things. Look at two other verses quickly. In Jeremiah chapter 5, this is a real good one. Jeremiah 5, and look, we're almost done with the Bible study sheet on one side. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 5. So here's Jeremiah at the beginning of his ministry, and he's got a man that's his assistant that's helping him, that's probably pinning some of the scriptures as Jeremiah's dictating it. But notice what Jeremiah says. Here's what my life is about. Jeremiah 5:5. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. So Jeremiah says, man, I'm going to get around great Christians. I'm going to get around the best of the best and learn from them. That was his theme. But notice, his assistant, here's what his theme was. Jeremiah 45:5. Interesting, 5:5, and then 45:5, his name is Baruch. Guess what he does? And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Jeremiah chased great people. Baruch chased great riches. And you never hear anything about Baruch in Scripture again. He could have been the great assistant, kind of like an Elisha to an Elijah, but he was not because of a wrong relationship with money. Give you one other. Look over here, please, in Luke 16, if you will. And most of you who've been raised in church, when you hear that chapter, Luke 16, we think of the rich man in hell, right? Luke 16, it's the chapter about hell. But notice what it really is the chapter about. It's the chapter about riches. Luke chapter 16, we know it's true because it's in red. Brother Jose, does that help you? Now tell the people in Colorado, if it's in red, it's true. Okay. If it's in black, it's true. No matter what color it is, it's true if it's in the Bible. Okay. So Luke 16, Jesus is speaking. He said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. So he's talking about the man that's not doing a good job. He's a steward. Jesus speaks about this guy for many, many verses. Then look down in verse number 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, the word mammon, some people say it means money. Other people say it means anything in which you trust. So it could go either way. If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous money or things, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Hear the question Jesus asked. He says, if we can't be faithful with the things God's giving us, why would he give us the eternal things that last forever if we can't even manage the things that last for a little while? Interesting. Why would God give us his power to win souls if we don't tithe? If we don't take care of what we have? If we waste what he's put us in charge of? And then notice what he says in verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So he's telling his disciples there, you're going to have to make a choice. He said, you're going to have to give up the aspirations of being this top 400 Forbes richest people in the world. And he said, you know, you're going to have to make a choice. And then we see, look, verse 19. Now, see where it ties in? There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. The same theme is throughout the whole chapter. Talks about stewardship. Then he talks about you can't serve God and money. Then he talks about a man that goes to hell. Guess what he was? Rich. Doesn't mean all rich people go to hell, but he's saying that man did not need the Lord, it seemed. And he didn't get saved, and he died and went to hell. Interesting. Look at one other passage, and then we'll really buzz through these answers, give them to you quickly. Over here in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, it's really the money chapter in Scripture. So, Pastor, why are we talking about this? Because there's pressure right now. Christmas holidays, and we need to have this. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with purchasing gifts and giving things. I'm not saying that. But if we're not careful, we get a little discontent. We get a little sorry for ourselves. We look at so many people that have needs. Maybe financially we can't meet them all. But notice, Paul is speaking to Timothy, who's taken over this church. And notice the warning he gives. It's just all in this chapter. It's just meat. It's filet mignon. And he's saying, Timothy, you're going to have to settle these things in your heart. You will not make a good, godly leader if you're waffling on this. You've got to settle this. And so notice what he says. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So if we're a godly person and content, we're rich. Amen. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I was speaking to a pastor recently. As we sat down, I mean, it just kind of blew me away what he said. He said, you know, he said a lot of pastors, they'll have plaques that people give them, and they'll have little whatnots and things that people have given them, and they buy things for their office and cool things for their house. He said, I hate to tell you, I've thrown them all away. I said, do what? He said, I've thrown them all away. He said, and you even gave me some. I threw them in the garbage. We'll give them back. We'll sell them at a garage sale. He said this, I got my life so organized, 15 minutes after I die, all my stuff is gone and out the house. I got to thinking, wow, I guess he's kind of letting go of some things. You know, I hate to tell you this, and this sounds so terrible. Every gift we have, and I'm not saying diamond rings, wedding rings. So Herman, I'm not talking about that, all right? You can rule that one out. By the way, if you hadn't bought one yet, you probably need to buy one before Friday. Okay, and a big one too. Okay, so, but every gift we've ever given anybody or received is one day probably going to end up in the dump. That's where cars go. That's where televisions go when they burn up. That's where computers go. Well, I don't know if you're legally supposed to put them there, but that's where they go. It's all going to end up in the dump. That's depressing. I asked my wife, I said, if I drop dead tomorrow, she goes, garage sale, selling them all at the garage sale. I said, no, the animals, garage sale. They're going to all go to the street. I said, the animals. So notice here, 1 Timothy 6, we have to hurry. Verse 7, we brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, food or clothing. Let us be there with content. That's necessities. But they that will be rich. He's not saying riches are wrong. Someone gives you $1 million. Someone gives you $1 billion. He's just saying, but the people, their goal is to be rich. That's their goal. Notice what he says. They fall. Where is it? They that will be rich fall. Now notice all the negatives here. Into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts. They get taken and bad business deals and scams because they're looking for quick money, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Then he says, for the love of money is the root of all, or you could even say all kinds of evil. How about abortion? How about the legalized drug industry? How about alcohol industry? How about pornography industry? All kinds of evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And he says, Timothy, O man of God, flee these things. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Hold on eternal life. Verse 17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world. He says, Timothy, when you preach, you make sure you have something for those people that have a lot of money, a lot of things. It's okay if they do, but that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. But in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You say, Pastor, how do you know if you're rich? If you can enjoy the little things. He says, he gives us all things to enjoy. A sunset, a sunrise, a rainbow in the sky. Sitting outside listening to the first rainfall of the year. All things. How do we know if we're rich? Verse 18, that they do good. If you have health to do good works, you're rich. Hate to tell you, if the Lord tarries 50 years, we're all going to get old. And the energy you have to serve the Lord now, it's going to be a memory. Yeah, it's going to be a memory. It'll be, you remember when we used to? Yeah, and now you don't even know. Man, I used to help on the bus route. Now you can't even find the bus. Where's the bus? Worse than that, what's a bus? We won't always have health. Won't always have energy. What else here? Look down. We're in 1 Timothy 6. What's he say? That they do good. That be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. If you have extra to give to somebody else, you're rich. Man, we're going to surprise so-and-so and drop some groceries by. Hey, we're going to surprise so-and-so and slip them some money. If you have extra to give to somebody, you're rich. You're rich. Okay, let's finish this up. We got 5 minutes here. If you're just coming in, we're on the back page. Okay? What a wrong relationship with money can cause. Here we are. Here's the blanks, and we're done. Answer roughly. It'll cause you to be rude and rough with people. Poor people aren't usually rude and rough. They have to be kind. They need some blessings. A lot of times you meet someone that's wealthy, and they won't give you the time of the day. They answer roughly, the Bible says. Next, respect to persons. James 2, when you have a lot, it's easy to treat some people worse because they're not as educated, they're not as clean, they don't have as much as you. God never wants us to be snobby. Thank God for people that have stuff and they still treat other people with dignity. Number three, sometimes we can be deceived. The Bible says, in the deceitfulness, Mark 4, of riches. What is the deceitfulness? It says, they choke us. Here's what it means. Deceitfulness of riches means riches will give me security. If I just have this much in the bank, I'll be secure. No, not really. Not if the government seizes everyone's assets and takes Social Security. Who knows what the government could do? Nothing's secure. God is the same and His word is the same. That's the only real security that you have. But the deceitfulness of riches is this. Choke us. It means we're sitting in church and we're thinking about all of our debt. And we're wondering how we're going to pay it. Or worried about if someone's going to get our stuff. And so we can't concentrate in church. And the word of God's choked. Here's a message. Someone else is having their life changed. And our mind's on our bills and our credit card payment. That's what it's talking about. So what's he saying here? We're talking about wrong relationships with money. Quickly, any Hobby Lobby people here, be careful putting your hand up. Hobby Lobby, you've been inside of one at one time. Come on now. I know you have. Hobby Lobby, it's the number one craft store in America. 1,000 stores right now. A Christian owner named Green. He borrowed, I think it was $60 or maybe $200 to start his very first one. And he started working on it. He says, our employees are the most important thing about our store. He said, I decided I'd put the Lord first, which shut down on Sundays. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said, I know I lost millions and millions of dollars doing it, but we're putting the Lord first. It's his company. It's not mine. He said, I don't own it. God does. A steward. He said, then we got to the point we started giving 50% of all of our proceeds, all of our profit, 50%, billions of dollars every year to worldwide evangelism. He said, my job is to get people saved, not make money. He said, we have manager meetings, quarterly manager meetings. We hire new managers, different stores, and we always give the gospel. He said, we had 15 managers got saved at our last meeting. A lawyer walked in and said, you may get sued for this. He said, their soul's worth more than a lawsuit. So here's a man, somehow, he realized he's a steward, and he runs Hobby Lobby. You check into the owner of Chick-fil-A. Yeah, scripture's on there. No, that's In-N-Out scripture. I don't know who runs In-N-Out anyway. So, but Green Hobby Lobby. Quickly here, we don't have time to talk about the kitchen. Okay, the dump is where all the gifts end. Money talks. Who's ever heard that statement? Money talks. It says goodbye. That's kind of what it says. It talks. It says something about, one, our relationship with the Word. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all of our increase. What's God saying? He's saying, whatever increase we have, God says, I get mine first. So what we do with money reflects if we really believe the Word of God or not. Seek ye first, God gets his first. Next, it reflects our character. Will I compromise over money? Will I serve liquor at a restaurant because they pay me money. Will I sell marijuana at a dispensary because they pay me money? Will I dress contrary to Scripture because I have to dress that way for my job to make money? Will I, and we could go on and on and on, a lot of people would easily compromise just over money. It reveals our character. Next, priorities. What's first in our life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It reflects our generosity. Give, and it shall be given unto you. God wants us to have a loose hand. A loose hand. It's kind of interesting. If you just think about Jesus' hand, what his hand did during his ministry. He lifted Simon Peter. He wrote in the sand. He gave the lunch. He taught. He held. And then when he died, his hand was nailed open. You never see Jesus with a closed hand. And it's our nature to receive and keep it. And God wants us to receive it and to give it. That's his plan. Quickly here, and we're almost out of time. Here we are. The real riches. Okay, so what are the real riches? Here it is, Christmas 10, 11 days from now. I don't have anything, and I'm poor, and I'm broke. I don't have anything. What's the real riches? Here's what I believe they are. One, souls. You lead a soul to Christ, and they spend the next 10 billion years in heaven. You're pretty rich. You're rich to have a loved one or a friend that you've told about the Savior. That's riches. Next, blessings. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Number three, train kids. If you've got kids that have listened to you and they're trained and doing well, you are rich. Most people don't have that. Next, friends. If you have a real friend who's been there to encourage you and pray for you and rebuke you and tell you the truth, you're rich. Next, if you have a ministry to others, if there's something you get to do, God's, it doesn't even have to have a title, but you're ministering to other people, you're rich. If you still have your health, you're rich. If you have wisdom to share, you are rich. So maybe some of us this week, as Christmas is approaching, oh, I forget who it was. I'll close with this. Oh, little gypsy boy. What was his name? Gypsy Smith. Went to New York City. He'd been raised in poverty, and they showed him all of Times Square in New York City. And they said, Gypsy, what did you think? He said, I'm just so happy. I didn't want any of it. He said, I'm just so happy. I didn't want any of it. So during this season, if you're broke, meditate on your riches. If you have more than you did years ago, walk humbly and be a good steward, because the Lord's coming back one day.